Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful. Your steadfast love extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the cloud. Your righteousness is like majestic mountains. And your wisdom like the depth of the sea. Lord, you come to me, filling my heart. Is your loving kindness have found my feet in the shadow of your wings. I hid my fear from the abundance of your household. And I drink from the streams of rejoicing. You are my Father, we declare your reign once again in our midst. And we say your kingdom come. Thank you tonight because you will help us to have a stronger sense of nearness. That you will draw our heart closer. Lord, that we may feel after you and find you. Even though in you we move, we live, we move and have our being. But Lord, we ask, oh God, that you draw our heart again. Lord, we ask you draw our heart again. Blessed is he whom thou choosest and caused to come unto you. You have said we shall be satisfied with the abundance of your house. We shall drink of the rivers of your pleasure. Thank you tonight because everything affordable in your presence is for us. And Lord, we receive of all your provisions. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Celebrate Jesus once again. Please take your seat comfortably. Don't be nervous. It's fellowship, okay? It's not a prophetic meeting. Well, whatever. Glory to God. So, I think I got a pass into what God will have us do tonight from that song that came earlier. And it just occurred to me that the center of our call is just to please him. And we want to learn more and more on how we can steward everything he has given to us to be able to come to that place where we will please him. Please, let's take that song one more time. It's such a breathtaking experience that I was having. And Pastor Zach came to cut it short. Amen. So permit me now that I have the microphone to do justice to my assignment. Do it one more time. Just once. Once will be sufficient for me to get my reading. Amen.
Awake,
if you like to sing, you can sing with us. But if you are not bothered, you can keep quiet.
Upon my garden, bring my spices out.
Let my love, crown.
My life rings from thy shall you glad.
Oh, I love.
Oh, I love to please you, my love.
One more time, let my love
please come into his garden. Let him have the fruits of my within.
My within.
Let my life bring fruits that surely glad.
Oh, I love. God bless you. Oh, I love to please you, my love. And I like to speak to that in a couple of minutes. I will be speaking about what you're very familiar with. But I trust the Lord to come from an angle of interest that will pull your attention. The whole essence of repeating what you know is to get you to attend to it more. All right? And I want to commend the church, the entire community, for giving a lot of attention to restoring the paths to dwelling. Daily meeting is important. And as much as we are very busy schedule, one of the profits of the community is for us to have access to one another in fellowship on a daily basis. Hebrews chapter number 3 verse 13. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 13. What did it say? It says, but exhort one another daily. It's a daily thing. Now, don't you ever think that a seldom experience is what you need to survive in the kingdom? No. Don't you ever think you can invest enough time to this life of the spirit that we want to live? It's going to be forever demanding. We are going to invest into fellowship with one another on a daily basis. So the writer of Hebrews said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Is it called today?
Yes,
so it's your call for fellowship. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. Lest any of you be hardened. There is a subtle tactics of the enemy to get the heart hardened. And what makes it happen is distance from fellowship. The biggest tool of the adversary for death is isolation. When you begin to grow to the point that you are growing alone, you are dying. When you are beginning to grow apart from the brethren, you are dying. Because very soon, you will discover that you have suffocated. The oxygen that causes the life of the spirit to fester and foster the life of the spirit is in community. We breathe into one another. You know, in the natural world, when you breathe into one another, you choke. But in the realms of the spirit, when spirit-filled people breathe into one another, it fosters life. It fosters life. So, as long as it is called today, and is it called today?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy to witness today?
Yes, sir.
So, as long as it is called today, you must exhort one another. There must be something to communicate with somebody on a daily basis. The real challenge of religion is the fact that we have reduced everything to sermonizing. So you are looking forward to a big preacher to speak. Meanwhile, the life intake that is readily available is with your brother. So you are waiting for Papa, you're coming. Then you put me on the poster. And, who told you I don't even need your breath? I need the spirit to breathe through you to me. So that's why you find me, I can come here, Sit down and breathe. Help me tell somebody, learn to breathe life. So when I see us come together for 21 days, I have hope that in the busy schedule of Lagos, people can still find their way to one corner that is called Efunalaye Close. It's amazing. It's amazing. It really means you want to make heaven. You know, those days we used to find our way to where we drink beer every day. Every day. Every day. It's not once in a while. So if you're hearing, guy, how far? You know where you did? Are they come? I don't did there. You never come. Are they come? So you can almost notice who is absent. Can we cultivate that in church? Nobody is reminding nobody. If you don't have money, come. That's how we used to do it. There is a woman who will give us credit. I know that's the kind of thing you like to hear. I'm a man of God. I came here to preach the gospel. So as long as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. You know, being hardened is quiet. It's quiet. Quietly you are hardened. The first is that you'll be watching from online. That's when you have the space to criticize. You say, I know even they see I'm well self. Now when I dare, as they look them well. What thing did they do? You say, oh boy, as I sleep today, I relax. Church. Those are fired arrows of darkness. It's bigger than a witch pressing your neck in the night. Let me tell your neighbor, I hear. So, we must make our faith strong by not despising the what? Of the brethren. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. If it is dwelling together, it's not visiting together. You must find that language dwell as a community slogan, expression. Dwell together. In the Acts of Apostles, they return to their company. You see, you don't have to belong to every company. Every company have the expression. There were 12 tribes in Israel. They don't all look alike. So, some people might get there and get lost with your songs and say, what thing did they sing? I don't understand. They belong to another tribe. All right? Let them go and have a good time. We are not against it. But while it is your company, stay there. Your strength is there. Your breath is there. Your supply is there. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. Help me tell your neighbor, dwell. Dwell is community. May you not grow to a church where people don't know each other's name. Where you just pass each other on the road and say, hey, bro, it's like I know you. Yeah, bro. You must grow to have a community where somebody wants to take your sister on the road and say, hey, what are you trying to do? Yeah, that's the way. That's the way. And I think that my first point of call, before I speak to faith in a few minutes, as I was sitting down there, the Lord just began to place in my heart to speak to that foundational place of faith. Because the writer of Hebrews still said, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without what? Faith. It is impossible to please God. So, if we have been longing to please Him, then we must understand the functionality of faith. How does it function? So, come with me to one of the Jesus' story. I do one thing every week. And if I don't know if you like to emulate it. Every week I read a Jesus' story. I read the story of Jesus. Every week I meditate fully on the story of Jesus. It might be a story of how He went out and casted the demon. And I will just be amazed. Every day I'll be looking around it. I'm doing a lot of Bible study, but I'm just amazed at the story of Jesus. So around the year, I go through the story of Jesus several times. So there's about no story of Jesus in the Bible that I don't know so well. And one of the references that came to my heart as I was sitting down there was the story in Matthew chapter number 16. And believe you me, every believer must understand Matthew chapter number 16 quite very well, because there are foundational issues that Jesus Himself raised there. So, come with me to Matthew chapter number 16. And this is faith, okay? Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing Him asked that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. So, He was approaching the religion of the day with the fact that the religion has only made them active within the sense, within their the context of their five senses and general discernment. And so the temptation they brought to Jesus was, okay, show us a sign beyond the ordinary. And Jesus said to them in the next verse, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. He was calling them a wicked and an adulterous generation. He's not saying anybody that asks a genuine sign is wicked. He's actually saying, you guys are a wicked and adulterous generation and you are seeking for a sign. And He said, no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Prophet Jonah. He left them and departed. Now listen, this is not where I'm going to dwell. But I need to make a reference to this. That's why I read. And in verse 5, he said, now when His disciples had come to the other side, when they had left that side of engagement, they had forgotten to take bread. So the disciples were the ones that arranged the protocol for all the movement. And most of the time, Jesus' movements, you can't actually predict. In fact, there were times that Jesus will start a meeting and you won't know if it's going to be a 3 or 4 days meeting. So there was a time He started the meeting and everybody felt it was just a casual meeting of one day, we'll talk and everybody goes back home, until everybody finished everything they had. And there was no food till the next day. And this Jesus stood up. Disciples said, oh, yeah, everybody go. And Jesus said, no, it's not right. How will we just leave these guys to go? Just like Pastor Zach said, when you finish this meeting, you must eat. He has Jesus' kind of mind. Clap for Him. Yeah. One of the encouragements he gave me today is that if I stay late, I will eat well. Ask him. He told me. So I said, Kai, you look like Jesus. You know. So, you know, and at this instance, Jesus had moved to the other side and we were not prepared and nobody took bread with them. And that was a real concern for disciples. And as if they knew. Please, can you give me back verse 6. We left verse 5. We're in verse 6. Don't run too much. I will sanction you. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. You know, he just left the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There are about three times Jesus issued the warning of the leaven of the Pharisees. And in those three instances, it will mean different things. Because the presentation of the leaven of the Pharisees are in different form. The form in this place is that they were carnally minded. And as Jesus knew, immediately he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. The next thing the disciples said in the next verse is, they reasoned among themselves saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Hey, this man got us. You know, he's speaking about leaven now because we did not take bread. And now you can laugh. But most of us are guilty of exactly what they did. What am I talking about? Interpreting the speakings of God accurately. Most people have started the ministry because they just had a dream. And they say, God is saying I should go and start ministry next week. They are like these guys. Jesus just looked at them and said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then they came together and said, leaven. Shebi, it's leaven they used to make bread. That means he already knew we did not take bread. I told you, Peter, we should have taken bread. See, your guy is talking about bread now. Are you finding it interesting tonight? Then Jesus, being aware of their error, said to them, oh, ye of little faith. How does faith connect? Are you still here? Because for most times you feel faith is just an operational tool. Oh, but thank God in Hebrews 11, I think verse 3 says, by faith we understand. So faith is not just for operation, it's also for perception. The faith that fosters true living is a quality that makes you perceive God accurately. Why? Because of your relationship. Now, let me explain this to you. There is a way you will relate with your father that when he caught his eye, you know what he's saying. So faith is first relational. He said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Why? Why were they of little faith? Number one, because they have a very incorrect interpretation of what he was saying. Number one. So your faith borders on you having the capacity to have a correct understanding of the mind of God. Why most of the time do we not have a correct interpretation of the things that God is saying? Why? Because we have a regime of knowledge that is totally carnal. And that was exactly what he was dealing with the Pharisees. He was telling the Pharisees, when you look at the morning, you can tell what will happen. When you look at the evening, you say, go and carry your umbrella. Rain will soon fall. But you cannot discern the times. Why? Because you have that, not that quality of faith that orders true living. And that's the one I want to deal with quietly. I asked the Lord, what does faith has to do with misunderstanding what I just said? Because faith is relational. Those days when we go out with my mom, myself and my cousins, she doesn't talk. She smiles and moves. But you understand. By force, by fire, you understand. When you get someone and say, ah, Ejueba, I found why you're on coke. Ah, you're wanting to get more coke. Oh, they're wanting more coke. If you take that coke, then you say, ah, mommy, thank you, ma. I'm full. Very full. In fact, this no space in my tummy. Because you have seen. So Jesus was so connected to the Father that his faith is whatever I see the Father do. May you grow. You know, when I was doing a bit of study some times ago, and I discovered I had to check little faith. I was looking at little faith all around the scripture. And I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes. We'll pray. And oligopistia, little faith. It means faith that is not strong enough to foster true living. Yeah, people have faith. Yes, yes, yes. They have faith that makes them to go and pray and they are doubting the prayers. Haven't you been there? That while we are praying about it, somebody is a bit more shame woman, you man cool. All of us are praying. I say, hey, pray for the baby. Pray for the baby. Mom says, hey, John, Lord, what's it going? I'm going to tell me who you. Speaking in tongue, you call. It's close to one male sickness that we call oligospermia. Oligospermia means, of course, you are a man, I can teach you. But you don't have oligospermia, it's confirmed. Oligospermia is when you are producing the sperm. There is the other one. Doctors are here. Azoospermia. Azoospermia, no sperm. No sperm. I was ministering to somebody and sometimes I think somewhere in Arepo, and I turned to the man and I had a word of knowledge that the Lord said to speak to him, that they said he doesn't have sperm. Ah. So I went close to his ears. Then he looked at me and said, So, and the Lord said, tell him that they are going to have a baby in September. They are going to have a September baby. Oh, I've seen things, though. I've seen things. I had an issue. I don't want to, you know, because of social, you know, all the messages you preach is everywhere. So let me quote this. I won't say where. I had an issue of someone we prayed with and had a baby. You know, I deal in that area about Lord Molimi, you know. So we prayed with a couple. The guy had maybe azoospermia or oligospermia, whatever. But the trouble was with the guy. And I had a baby. And they praised God for it. By the third year, they had another baby. And when they had another baby, you know, he was just praising God that way. So he was just in the U.S. for holidays, and they were doing general checks and all. And he decided to do the spermatozoa count again. And he did the spermatozoa count. They said, now, you are azoospermia. Then the enemy began to shoot arrow into his mind. When he came back to Nigeria, he started doing sperm count everywhere. And everything was saying, azoospermia, 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 azoospermia. Hey! At that point, he quietly took the two babies for DNA. And when he took the two babies for DNA, the DNA was 99%. And the thing leaked. The wife got to know. It became a crisis. So when the wife was going to crucify, the wife was crying. Why will you do DNA on my babies? And you call yourself a Christian. By the time we were going to solve the matter, he told me how the enemy has been threatening him. No, be you born them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because God says, okay, I'm going to make you have five babies, but you still be azoospermia. Have you been there? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to make you have five babies, but you are going to be azoospermia. Your sperms will be coming from another realm. Come on, let me say, come on now. So I've seen things in this my short waka. Even my wife, when she went back to have her test, everything they said was wrong was still wrong after her baby. So that in case you want to doubt, I, the Lord, will show you. I will share my glory with no man. Do you get what I'm saying? In case you say, maybe it was a supplement, I was taking the supplement. You know, I took several supplements. You are still azoospermia. And you already are too. I see a miracle happening already. Lift your voice and say, by faith we understand. Hey, after tonight, your faith will rise. That even your father's body language will understand. Do you know some people's faith are so oligopistes that even when angel comes inside, they feel it's a demon. You don't understand what I'm saying. Angel came in. Any strange presence is devil. It takes faith to see God, to connect to him, to understand him, to see what he's doing. Without faith, you will always see the devil. Even when God is talking to you, you will use your head to interpret. So, two things that Jesus had to speak to that day concerning the response of the people. And believe you me, it was the whole of the disciples together that put their heads together. And they arrived at the same. You know, all of us can prophesy together. And God is saying something and we're interpreting it to our head. And we're all saying the same thing. Haven't you seen it happen before? All of us will be saying the same thing. Why? Because it is out of our calculation. Calculation. The Lord just show you something. Oh, I know where God is going now. God wants to make somebody something. Something, somebody. And God is not moved. If you are humble enough to go back with your folly, he will now tell you what he was trying to say. But it takes faith to be accurate. It takes faith to be correct. It takes faith to understand. So Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourself?" Reasoning takes you away from faith. Sensual reasoning. Sometimes you are ready. You know that reasoning is different from meditating. Meditating, you are opening the door of inspiration. For there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. When you open your heart, the Lord begins to drop you ideas of what he's saying, and you put it together. But when God is saying, Baba. You get what I'm saying? Imagine God just said to Abraham, "Oh, Abraham, take your son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him to me on the Mount Moriah." And it was a 3-day journey. I can do something, anything for my God. God has the prerogative of intent whenever he speaks. So we say assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Don't reason out. You have the dream. Somebody helped you to fetch water. You woke up and said, "That's my wife." It's common with you guys. Until the girl slapped you. I don't care if he hears. Let me say, one of my sons, he was very close to me then. And he just told me that this sister is my wife. See what I saw. I said, seeing is not totally accuracy. Interpretation is accuracy. Hearing is not totally accuracy. Interpretation is accuracy. And Nebuchadnezzar can see and he won't know what he saw. A Joseph can see. So don't say, "How do you know it's your wife?" "I saw it." That's not enough for me. There are factors I lined up together to know whether you're accurate or not. The fact that you saw yourself flying abroad does not mean you are going abroad. It might seem mean that God is raising you higher. So you see, God asks a prophet, "What seest thou?" And he said, "I see the rod of an Ammon." He said, "Thou hast seen well." If he didn't see well, the Lord said, "Thou hast not seen well." So my guy was, in fact, he said, "Now I know where we are going to get married. I saw her." And this girl that she saw, that girl happens to be very irrational. I said, "Come." I said, "Come. This girl, you saw her, but be patient in your approach." Because I was not there when you see. I don't argue with people that hear and see. Because people actually see alone. Have you ever seen anybody that called you and said, come and see what I'm seeing? See division. Have you seen anybody that called you before? That the Lord is showing me something. Come. See my vision. See my vision. See how the Lord is showing me. Everybody see and hear. You don't have a right to say they have not seen. God does not speak in chorus. So when you are coming to me for counseling, and you are already counseling me, I allow you to land and pray for you and go. You are coming to me for counseling and say, so sir, it's just what I just said. You know, last year, the Lord showed me that I was going to come to Lagos, and I got to Lagos, and I saw, oh, you have seen well. The Lord bless you. Lord, everything you have shown me, let it be. Bye-bye, God bless you. Why do you need to talk to me when my superior has spoken so much? Tell me. You are wasting my time in counseling. You have such access to the voice of God and you are coming to me? You are a joker. So you see this, my brother insisted. He said, the Lord has shown me who are going to marry. And until one day, the girl carried all the bowl that they used to wash dishes and pour it on it. You say you won't stop coming to my house. Now you're kind man are the fine. Eh? Now you are the fine. Of all the people in this world, you. Okay, wait for me. Carried, I'm not joking, carried soapy water with creamy, oily, poured it on his head. It was coming straight to my head. Eh? I said, it is what you saw. Manage it. I'm making this faith matter too much of a joke matter. Let me brace up. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O ye of little faith. Little faith that's so much did not produce much result. Holy Ghost peace. This is Holy Ghost peace too, or Holy Ghost peace this. It's a Holy Ghost. It's not Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost peace. That's where we got Holy Ghost Pamia from. That's where science got Holy Ghost Pamia from. Holy Ghost Pamia. You see, it's not like. I was gonna hand about this microphone. But really, God will cure us of Holy Ghost pieces that produce no understanding. And Jesus said something to them. He said, why do you reason among yourself? Because you didn't take bread with you. And in the next verse, he said, do you not yet understand? Do you see the place of understanding in faith? Or remember, in fact, there must be a basis of understanding. One of the basis of understanding that should not make you even veer to bread side is because I fed you before. Some of you soon lose your testimony. You forget. It is because you are suffering from oligopistis. You forget your testimony now. Some of you, God just did something that should sustain you for 2 years. Very similar things beginning to happen. I say, what thing we go do now? What thing we go do? We no carry bread though. Come on, tell your neighbor, is he talking about you? Do you forget so easily? Tell somebody else, do you forget so easily? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 how many baskets you took up. Not how many people were fed, but how many baskets you took up. That means God did exceeding abundantly, don't he ask or think, and it was intentional. The reason why God exceeded your expectation is because he didn't want you to forget. And if you still forget, only go business.
He said, so, how much of impact did 5,000 people that were fed, and not only that, how many baskets, Peter, how many baskets did you guys carry and brought? And he said, okay, these baskets are here. Everybody is full. What do we do with it? How long ago did that happen? And we just crossed the water. And I said something. The only reference you can have to eat is we no carry bread. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. How many baskets we took up? You know, faith is in perception. Faith is in operations. If you see his operation well enough, you perceive him more accurately. That's why there are miracles in our midst.
Help me say to your neighbor, I will not forget. And I need you to put yourself to remembrance of how he brought you out. Some guys came to me planning wedding and they said they were stranded. I said, go back and remember how many escapes you have had in the last 5 years. When they came back, they said, we are ready for marriage. You are too sensual. You are too calculated. You are too wired into 5 senses. God is trying to break it, but you are not giving him away. You are not giving him a chance. He's done so much. And yet you can come to church and say, he has done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Some of you only sing melodies, you don't sing understanding. And if you're singing understanding, you are not singing what it did back to him. You are not singing to enjoy your mood. Stop singing to enjoy your mood. Start singing what it did back to him. Start singing his word back to him. Start singing with understanding. Start praising with faith. Do you not yet understand? I love the word yet. You know why I use yet? It's done so much to bring them out of where they used to be. Of canal reasoning. But the more he does it, the more they forget it. Oh, ye of little faith. At this hour, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Not the 7 loaves of the 4,000. That's why I use yet. How many large baskets? So most of the time it won't do the miracle once. And it will do it in surplus. Are we ready to bring God's hand more into our midst? Why? Because we believe. We believe. We are expecting more.
We are not desolate of expectations. Hey, we are not what? Desolate of expectations. We are not barren people. We are waiting. We will see his goodness in the land of the living. We are a people of faith. We do not wink. We do not tremble at challenges. We remember what he has done to face where we are going. And whatever we meet on the way, we make a nonsense of it. Why? Because we do remember and we forget not. Shout faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Read a little further so that I can close. Can you give me verse 11? And when they had heard that, you can't kill my anointing, you know. I'm strong. No way. No way. Somebody say, not again.
Not again.
Who would that be? If you hear me? I'm going to leave my lady Rubai. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And in this state, he was talking about what he addressed in the beginning, which is their carnality. They are also always drawn to five senses approach. They can interpret weather. Physical things, not the problem. But when God is bringing something from spiritual perspective, they are lost. That's 11. I will show you several other 11, but not today. I can show you the 11 in Luke 12. When the myriads of people were gathered unto him, and he showed them 11, I can show you different levels of the Pharisees. That they are very religious people, but they don't understand God. You can be very religious, yet you don't understand God. Very active religiously, but your personal life, you can't find God. You'll be groping in darkness. When it's time to gossip scripture, you can gossip. When it's time to gossip brethren, you can gossip. It's that brother. He doesn't pray again. That sister. If you hear what it's not my mouth. It's not my mouth. That pastor. Not be me go talking. But when it all comes to God coming into your life, you'll be groping in darkness. You can't see God. Your eyes can is so sharp to see that my trouser is not well made. This your eyes is your problem. Help me tell your neighbor. No, don't tell him that one. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The next verse. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it ended. Now, in the following chapter. Now. Okay, do I still have up to 10 minutes? Now you the cousin.
Verse 13. Okay, let's go. Let's take some time for Bible study. So after that rebuke, they began to make progress. I hope some people begin to make progress. Faith will push you into deeper realms of revelatory experiences that are relatable. Okay? And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, they had come to another region, saying, who do men say that I am? So he knows they always answer from the head. Because they are suffering from faith that holds no water. Pseudo faith. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. If you see the way they were speaking, when believers are giving report, Pastor, they begin to give report. When you ask believers what's up right now, who is the latest pastor now, they will tell you they're online, they're on the internet. They can begin to teach out things. Ask them what God's saying. They'll begin to grow in that. If you see how people began to say, who do men? Immediately say, who do men say I am? You will know that they listen to gossip very well. And because they were patronizing Jesus, they didn't say everything, no. Because one day, Jesus himself said what people were calling him. He said, John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking. You said he was possessed. I, the Son of Man, came, eating and drinking. And you said, I am possessed with demon. I am a drunkard. So they also called him a drunkard. But that day, they didn't tell the elder. They didn't give that feedback. Because somebody will have been bold. No, not the only prophet they call you. They also called you drunkard. They didn't say everything. They only said the good ones. They said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others, Jeremiah. Others, one of the prophets. Because if I ask you now, what do people call your pastor? If I give you a microphone now, you see all the names you will call him. There are some you will not mention that you have heard before. Oh, this discipleship thing is real. Are we still together? So, but who do you say that I am? The next verse. Simeon Peter answered and said, ye are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next verse, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simeon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The trouble with the times they missed it was flesh and blood. The only time they got it, Jesus was not just doing an appraiser. He began to confirm positions. He said, Simeon's son of Jonah, you are Peter. He began to confer true positions. Hear me. When you begin to walk in that faith that puts you in that stance of true revelation, you begin to get accurate positions in God. Are you ready for that tonight? Just before I round up, Let me show you the operations. Another side of this. Another side of faith. When Jesus rebuked these people about faith, about oligopistes. It's just the following chapter, chapter number 17. And it was one day that they were attempting to cast out a demon from a boy. You see, the biggest weapon in dealing with Satan is not the texture of your voice or the movement of your body. Some of you today, the enemy has so deceived you that you feel the way you roar makes him afraid. Most of the time, they just gather and laugh. They laugh. They just laugh. I told somebody recently that these days, when young people pray, they are bent over. It's a normal posture. They feel by the time they are bent, they look more spiritual and scare Satan. It's a lie. Satan will join them to mimic them. There is nothing wrong if your favor makes you bent over. But what he respects is inside. One boy came to visit me on Sunday and I said, let us pray. I need to pray with you for a while, you know, just before you go. In the very minute we started, he has been there. I said, hey, come. Are you okay? And I don't have any problem with you if that's the most comfortable position you like to take. Whom you resisted fast in faith. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. You know, so many of you are so emotional. But the potency of the content you are bringing does not scare Satan. And you say this, that the real devices of Satan are not the one that makes you afraid in the dream. They are the ones you can easily live with. That the ones you find pleasurable. Like when you say, that guy, don't talk to him again. Don't talk to him again. He's not your friend. And you just say, it's not my, I'll show you. And when you say, bless you. But in your heart, you say, well, I'll finish here. That same day, Satan has taken authority over you. But since he has not come to squeeze your neck, you feel, we are dominated over Satan. We have dominion. It's only the day it comes to appear in your dream that you, the Satans that appear in your dream are weaklings. They are baby demons. The ones that are real demons sit in your heart. They control your thoughts. And therefore influence your actions. The Satan is the prince of the world of darkness. So when he creates dark arena, he sits there. And he's comfortable. And believe you me, the most potent devices of the enemy are the ones that we are very comfortable with. Like standing on your right. Who is not right by standing on his right? You are foolish when he says, go and pray for your enemy. It doesn't make sense. The real tools of righteousness don't make sense. So, if you think the way you scare Satan is just by roaring, you just pulled the paw. Should I bust your bob? Should I? Jesus was going to do the most serious. He was going to do with the spirit of death. When he got there, he just looked at this. The Bible didn't say grow. He just said, I thank you, Father, because you hear me always. He just stood before the grave. He said, I'm even saying this because of the sake of these guys. I'm coming. I know what I came here to do. Oh, Lord, take me there. So he said, please roll the stone. Ah. They said, oh, God, have you prayed? He said, to ye ke ka wa jagun wole. Eni o lagbara ni o tagbara lo. Tagbara ba joko lokan e o lo agbara. O ti e wa ni din bi lati paruwo gan lo titi jidan. Olobirin kan nu Facebook bayi to ba ti fe cast the demon. Aka ko pe you out. Omo kekere obirin pelebe kan bayi ni. She just say, you just I charge you, go out of this body in the name of Jesus. Then the devil was coming out. Have you seen that girl? I will show you that girl. Maybe he's faking it, I don't know, but that, I like that. She doesn't struggle. No struggle, no struggle. They said, bring her over. The spirit of cancer. Cancer. You, I adjure you in the name of Jesus, you cancer, out of the body now. Now you hear, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And she's healed. Oh. Jesus stood by a four-day rotten situation and stood there and said, I thank you, Father, because you hear me always. And because of these people, because of these people who are standing by, I said this. He has prayed the prayer before coming there so that they will cooperate with him. That was why I prayed that like that. That they may believe that you sent me. Now when he has said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! That's all. And there was a reversal of the decay process in a twinkling of an eye. Invest more in your heart. Make your heart steadfast. Are we still together? Come with me so that you can get on your feet and we can pray. Get on your feet. Get on your feet. Come with me to chapter number 17. And when they came to the multitude, a man came to him. You should start speaking in the spirit by now. If you like to bend your neck, bend. If you like to sit down, sit. If you like to jump up, jump. But make sure you're praying. What's important? Quietly, not so loud. Just we'll proceed. You are still going to pray now. You are going to move this place. You are going to shake foundation. But this one, you will know that something is moving. Okay? And when they came to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, the Lord says to speak to two people who are receiving and commissioned into the healing ministry. Two people are commissioned to very strong healing ministries. And the anointing will be overwhelmingly functioning in your life. And they came and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire, often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? And that Atlantean called them. Okay, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the child was cured from the very hour. From that very hour. And disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, I say to you, I like the transition that puts it, because of your little faith. For surely I say to you, can you give me that transition that says a little faith? So that, because if you say, I'm not trying to make my message redeeming. If you go to your lexicon, you'll find out that the word there is also oligopistis. It's the same. Little faith is as almost as unbelief. It's more unbelief. Okay? But because of my time, I won't dwell so much on verse 20. Because if I want to dwell on verse 20, I will show you this. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small, little faith is different from small. The small there is saying in comparison to functionality of a mustard seed, it's a viable faith. A mustard seed is viable. Though small, but viable. Now, it's not that Jesus is contradicting himself. He said, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small. So little faith is different from small as mustard seed. He said, if you have faith, he's talking about quality of faith. Not quantity. He's talking about quality. The little faith is oligos pami, oligos pistis. It looks like faith. But it's not productive. But if you have faith, that doesn't really make noise. It's talking about, it's like, it's, as soon as it's genuine, even if it is not, if it is as small as mustard seed, you can't say. Come on. You can say to the mountain, move from here. You know why he was teaching them this? Because they said, Oga, why couldn't we? At least for those following him, they must have some level of faith. But he called it oligopistis. He said, but if you will come to the place where you can come to this operation that I've come into, you will have to have a viable faith. And viable faith will mean you understand the context of faith, and also you have enough references for operation. So you know. You know. Say, I know.
I know.
Say, I know. When you are using the word I know, most of the time you are referencing faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is. That is the reward of them that diligently seek him. They asked him, why is it that we couldn't do this? He said, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Speak in the spirit for a while. Just do that. Just do that. Let the Holy Ghost help you. Help my humbly. 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 Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? 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 Don't stop for the next 10 minutes. Close your eyes for a while. Speak in the spirit. As you are speaking, be listening to your heart. Because the voice of faith will rise in your heart. He'll be telling you what you can do. He'll be telling you where you can go. He'll be telling you what is possible. He'll be showing you what is possible. He'll be showing you how much he has invested in you. Just speak in the spirit for a while. I am almost under this. Oh, oh, oh.
Spirit of the Lord, all things are possible for them that believe. All things are possible. Just speak in the spirit for 2 minutes. We are stirring the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Lela Boshala Barobanasia Tofarabati. Speak out. Hear yourself. Hear the quality of the sound that the energy of the Spirit is pushing out of you. Hear yourself. Yes. Yes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. One more time. I feel there's an energy released to push certain things out of the way. And that is for everyone. One will chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. That is a procurement of victories, but we link up in faith, we'll go in the spirit and place a demand before the throne of grace, and help is coming mightily. Grace is released. Come on, push out that energy of the spirit, that the spirit supply. Everybody hands a miracle. In the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, I'd like you to pray. Even if you are lying, you are connecting to this pool. You are connecting to this river. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we provide recoveries, deliverance. In the name of Jesus, wholeness, healings. Healings. We procure miracles everywhere, wherever this cloud is connected to. Aira sabira vesadi kopana. Esata poravata. Eshata. I feel you should press a little more. I feel you should release some energies. I feel you should touch the throne. Touch the throne with some sound. Liso palo varose. Ekatu saparovata. Ele shale barofate. Obara sale kubaya na nakoba. Ere se kopeta la bandosa. Aye ye rabosate bonabate. Aye sukapora bosha. Adabano barosa topa. Aye se kete. O para sote para casila bota. Yes, pray. We provide supplies, financial strength in your body, strength in your soul. Le kaboro sikapata. The abundance of his house is released. The river of his pleasure is released. No one shall be left out. Oh, somebody's hand. Make procurement. Make procurement. Make procurement. Make procurement. Make procurement. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. 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 I am the Balose. He says, I'm doing something more than you ask of things. He said, I'm doing something that you yet know nothing about. You have not seen it. You have not heard it. I'm doing it now, says the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yashatada. Yashatopana. Yashatapara. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. For those of us who are here, and as many who are connected to us in this community online, you are going to praise God mightily. For 3 minutes, hear the sound. The Lord says to tell you, He's providing something that you know nothing about. Do you agree with that? Can your faith hold out? Something beautiful. It is a gift for you. As you are walking out of here, there is a procurement already. There will be a delivery in your house. In your family, in your home, in your life, in your business, everywhere you go. Can I hear somebody shout amen? Can I hear somebody shout amen? Somebody say, ay, 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 ay. Can I say, yes, somebody agree with me and say, I will praise God for it.
I will praise God for it.
You know, you can't mention what it is because it is beyond your knowledge. But the Lord says, I should tell you that you must praise Him for it.
Yes.
Say, I will praise God for it.
I will praise God for it. Hallelujah. You know, when Papa Ayo was preaching, the Lord gave me a chant. It's a very simple chant. And the Lord says, when we make that chant with all fervor, there's going to be a turnaround. I saw health issues turn around. That's one I'm sure of. It's not going to make sense. Just chant it. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story.
Victory upon victory. This alone is my story. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story. Victory upon victory. This alone is my story.
Victory upon victory.
Victory upon victory.
Victory. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God for sending us His word.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Friends, there is a divine intelligence that God wants to impart into us. There is a divine intelligence. There is a divine civilization that God wants to what? Impart into us. And that's this teaching is carries that civilization. May we not just enjoy the sermon. There is a way of life that heaven wants to impart. And I'm trusting God. I ask Papa Ayo. I hope, I pray, we trust God that Papa Ayo will be available tomorrow so that it's not a sermon. It's a lifestyle. Heaven's lifestyle. And not all of us have caught it. We have caught the blessing. We have caught the impartation. But we need to stay on this mountain. And so if Papa Ayo, we pray we don't. I know Papa Ayo will let me know more. But he's already hopeful that he will be available tomorrow. And will come again and, you know. What is that thing that Jesus said, if you have it, nothing shall be impossible to you. I want to go. I think it's important to know, to have that thing. Why am I now struggling in life? If Jesus cannot lie now. He said there is something, if you get it, that nothing will be impossible to you. I need to know that thing and be able to live like that, so that I'm living life when nothing is impossible. You know, when Baba Ayo was preaching, my brother, I forgot your name. Dari, there is a reformation going on with you. A reformation. And the sign of that reformation will be some new type of deals in your business. But that's not the reformation. There'll be some new kind of open doors, some connections, new ones. But it's because of an internal reformation that is going on. And that will just be a sign to it. So don't think that's the miracle. That's a sign. The miracle is that God is turning you around. It's those who know you will not know you again. Because of the beauty that will come out. You have now come face to face with the Lord. And you will not remain the same. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I thought Papa Ayo would take all the time, but he was kind to us. He didn't take time at all. And so, thank you so much, sir. Yeah, so. Amen, man. So, let's go. We're done for tonight. It feels like we're just starting. I don't know. You don't. You know, so. Or should I?